I don't want to hear Puffy's cover of Big Old Butt. Not right now, anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically.
Impressions.
You're dead to them. Yeah. In summary, you are dead to them.
Okay. Well, I mean, par for the course.
I met both of those over.
Pretty good.
I've never heard of them, but it's like...
Dan Hsu, who just got hired over at Sony. Yeah.
Condolences.
Yeah. Crispin Boyer. We had Sean Smith. We had Joe Funk. Awesome name.
Joe Funk's pretty good name.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've never heard of him, but it's a pretty good name.
Yeah. Yeah, we had Ed Semrad. So those are probably the greatest. It's John Riccardi over at 8-4.
You know, if Joe was a friend of mine, you know what I would say?
Huh.
I'd be at my house, and I'd call him up.
Yeah.
And I'd say, hey, Joe, can you come over? He'd be like, yeah, sure, what do you want to do? I'm like, just play some games or whatever, bring some beers. It's like, cool. I'm like, yeah, by the way, Joe, could you bring the Funk?
I'm sure he's never heard that.
I do that every single day.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
He's never heard that, I'm sure.
John Riccardi,
Mark McDonald.
I met both of those guys at their pre-TGS party this year.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was amazing. So
yeah.
Thank you for getting me into that also.
So there you go.
So that's...
Yeah, I guess I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you gave me the intro.
I'm useful once in a
while. I crushed it, though. Once I got there,
yeah.
Like, they were like, Craig who? That was their new Chicago Iron Galaxy go-to guy.
Okay, I'm not... They don't give a shit anymore.
I mean, I don't want to speak for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically.
Impressions.
You're dead to them. Yeah. In summary, you are dead.
Okay. Well, I mean, par for the course.
Who else? Any other internet all-stars at EGM at this time?
Oh, so the best one is when I was at EGM, there's this, like, little, like, 12-year-old that someone brought in, like, take your friend to work thing. And it was kind of creepy because this guy... You know, this guy's 12, and his friends, you know, one of our writers, like, what the hell is going on? He had this fro for a 10-year-old. Turns out that is the illustrious Patrick Kleppen.
Scoops.
Yeah, so that's how I know Scoops, is I knew him when he was an aspiring 12-year-old to be in games journalism, and now he's doing TED Talks, so...
TEDx Talks. That's some off-brand TED shit, if
ever I saw. Okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure anyone... I've ever met in my life could do a TEDx talk.
Okay.
TED, different story.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
No, like, let's do it this year. Let's get a TEDx talk this year.
Okay, that's going to be my goal.
I'm going to simulate my TEDx talk right now.
All right.
Everyone, thank you for coming today. I woke up this morning and I wondered, how could I change my life for the better? Guess what? I know, and now you do too. That's it.
Yeah.
You start talking like that,
yeah,
and people start clapping.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, this sounds smart, and I'm at a TEDx talk. Ooh.
Yeah, have you seen that? Have you seen Prometheus?
Yeah.
And then they have that TED talk that they launched before the movie came out?
I didn't see the TED talk.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, if you want to do a TED talk, you just watch that 1,000 times,
yeah.
And I think that would be perfect. But, I mean, like, didn't Patrick do a TED talk just like
TEDx on... TEDx talk.
TEDx talk on how to just tweet? I mean, wasn't it like...
When your open is, I'm really proud of how many followers I got on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real banger of a TEDx talk.
That's when you get the brutal card, right?
By the way. Oh, the brutal card.
Yeah, the brutal card.
So let's get right in. Let's skip the rest of your illustrious history.
Yeah, it's all...
Let's get right into the brutal card.
Okay.
So, explain to the fine folks at home, when we're midway, what is the brutal card?
So at Midway, we actually came up with a card called the Brutal Card. And what you do is when you...
It was a physical card.
Yeah, it was actually a physical card. What happens is, if you get served and you don't take it like a man, and you like, I don't know, serve me. Just serve me. Go ahead.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
How many hours did it take to squeeze into that shirt today?
What do you mean? Like, you know, I really... This is a fitted shirt. I don't understand. Like, I just put it on. At this point...
So if I'm the current holder...
Yeah.
...of the brutal card...
Yeah.
...he's being brutal, I can give him the brutal card.
Yeah.
And he has to take it.
Yeah.
It is... And so right now, then, so it incentivizes you, as a brutal card holder, to be brutal to everyone else...
Yeah.
...and hope they just come up weak.
It was great for team dynamics.
It was amazing.
It was really good. Now, here's how you avoid it. Go ahead and give me the thing again.
Hey, Craig, got a quick question.
Yeah.
How many hours did it take to pour yourself into that shirt today?
Well, I was out for a couple days. Yeah. So it was about that long.
See, no, I have to hold the brutal card.
Yeah, you're not giving it to me.
If you either accept the insult gracefully,
yeah,
or you come out swinging,
yeah,
but if you make excuses, fuck you, brutal
That's
card.
Done.
That's how
That's
it goes.
Done. Yeah.
It was a great game until a friend of mine, Eric Jewell, who is now at Unity, Technologies. I think he's like their console technical director or something like that. He got the brutal card one day, and it just died with him. Like, he had no interest in continuing the game.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the end of that.
The thing is that I thought it was funny, I think it actually did make me less defensive, but the weird thing is when you go to other companies, somewhere in your lizard brain, you just want to recreate that atmosphere.
Yes.
So, like, Adam and I kept trying to bring, like, the brutal card to, like, Capcom. And then, like, someone literally came to us and said, you know what, you're running the office, like, people are getting kind of offended. Like, literally. And then they'd say, you know, it worked for Midway, but maybe not so much at Capcom. Yeah. You're in the Bay Area. People are more touchy-feely, you know. And so we just couldn't. We tried many times.
So you were at Capcom. You were the director of design?
Yeah, it's the most ridiculous title
ever.
U.S. and U.K., that was the best.
U.S. and U.K. only.
Yeah, where you actually name territories. Like, Japan, they don't listen to you, right? Or if you're in Australia, not, doesn't
France?
Matter.
Fuck you.
Yeah, well, the weird thing was we actually did have a game in Australia. So I should have added Australia in there, too. Didn't do it.
Convict Island.
Yeah.
So delicious.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the brutal card. That was a lovely segue. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, one of these days we'll get it back.
We brought you on here to tell a very specific story.
Yeah.
It's probably not as good as the brutal card in hindsight.
Hey, no, the brutal card is better. The
brutal card's really good.
We really screwed
this up. You know what we're going to do? We're going to stretch this out. Like, okay. Bottom line, like, why go out on a high note?
Right.
We should ride it into the ground into a fiery fucking pit.
Yeah, so let me see if I can do this really well. We used to...
By the way, if you have to start like that...
Yeah.
No.
No.
The answer is no.
Okay, well, yeah. We've already established that. So, Adam Boys used to be our producer on Blitz the League, and that game was all about just making a game that was everything the NFL couldn't be, right?
Yeah. We've talked, just to calibrate, we talked at length about Blitz the League, and so hopefully loyal hashtag Team GFB listeners are up on Blitz the League team culture.
Yeah, they're not shocked by that, right? So, so keep that in mind. So we got a lot of play in mainstream media because it was kind of like we were going out on a limb. Like no other game kind of socially stuck to sports games. So we had ESPN lined up to do interviews.
This was pretty much near the end of the dev cycle, right? This
was
like after E3.
Yeah.
This is when, like, I think it was the CNN, like Grand Theft Madden and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And we're starting to get that play. And then ESPN was going to come in and do a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Was this for that? Was this the same one where Ray Buchanan... So there's a couple ESPN pieces of Blitz the League, and there was one that was like basically their equivalent of like hard-hitting sports journalism.
Right.
And they had Ray Buchanan doing an interview, and he's like, "Yeah, man, we shoot up all the time. We don't do it on the sidelines." And that was like him like saying the game was bunk or all that. Was that same piece?
I think it was a different piece.
Okay.
I think it was a different piece. But the thing about it was this, because we were at the end of the dev cycle, we knew A, we probably had something, and B, it meant our drinking went way higher. So we had this habit of going out and having just a ton of drinks, and then breaking into the office.
Let's not use the word habit.
Habit.
For going out and having a ton of drinks. Let's call it, that makes it sound, you know, habitual. Because
like we use the word habit.
It sounds like it's slightly problematic.
Yeah, possibly use the word habit. It makes it sound a bit cheap.
Yeah, just call it a hunch, but anyway,
okay.
Proceed.
Okay.
It was a team bonding exercise.
Yes. So we had a bunch of drinks, and Adam, who was our producer at the time, went around and hung up posters that said, "Fuck the NFL."
And he basically was like to motivate. Adam was big into like team building and bonding.
Yeah.
And all jokes aside, he was like really.
He's really good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he made up a bunch of signs, and it was like, have you ever seen him give a talk, like at one of his Sony talks or whatever? It's not like the big stage, but a smaller one, like a GDC.
Yeah.
You know, his like slide deck is like filled with cat gifs and stuff. Like,
yeah.
He likes like stupid stuff like that. So he made a bunch of signs, and like NFL sucks, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
And it was motivating because that was the whole game was about that, right? Like, how can we turn up the heat even more and more? And so,
he hung him up super late at night, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're done drinking, we get back to the office, I start creating bugs. Because at that point, I'm not fixing bugs, I'm making bugs.
Right.
He makes these signs and he hangs them up all over the studio.
Right. So, this is really late. No, it was too late for anyone who was sane to actually catch this. And then in the morning, you know, I got to the office and people were just on edge because ESPN rolled up and they're looking around the office taking B-roll footage to place while people are doing interviews. You know, they don't just sit there and put a camera in front of the guy talking. It was like, show something really cool. And they're sitting there capturing all this video of all these posters. They're just glued, the cameras are just glued to the wall while they're taking photos of posters while people are trying to pull them down.
Mike Builder, who we were talking about before, he's one of the Jackbox Games, owner of the best hair in gaming.
It's luxurious.
It's, I would luxuriate in it.
Yes.
He's running around like an insane person.
Yeah.
And ripping signs off the walls. It's like some Beyonce, take this off the internet shit.
Yeah, and he's the most straight-laced person that I've ever met at Midway, I think.
Let's not say straight-laced, because he can have fun with the best of them.
Oh, for sure.
I will say he's the most...
Even-keeled.
He's the one that's most concerned about what people thought, conscious of his image, you know. Let's just say, I don't want to say that comes from him being president of his frat. I don't want to say that. But, you know, maybe they're related there. Maybe there's some correlation.
There's probably some data you could link there. But a consummate professional.
Yeah, a pro's pro.
Right.
So he's running around like Hervé Villechaize on Fantasy Island when he sees the flame.
Yes.
Ripping these things off the wall.
Right.
Calls Adam in his office.
Yeah, calls Adam in his office. I don't know what happens, but Adam walks out of the office, face down. He kind of flustered. You know when he gets kind of red?
Yeah.
And he has like the sweaty fat guy
splotchy
thing going on?
Yeah.
And, you know, Adam, what's going on? He's like,
it's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. And then he shambles back to Bozy's snack shack,
Bozy's snack shack.
He literally turned his office into a snack shack. He would go to Costco, and it looked like, you know, when you go to like a 7-Eleven, and they don't have shelf space, so they just stack the boxes up.
Yep.
That was his entire office
that
at
was
the
legit.
Time. Yeah, that was, it was actually pretty
another,
amazing.
Another emphasis on his team building and support and all that.
Yeah,
but that was not a good day for him.
No.
Yeah, because they got to make some cool signs. And so the thing about Adam too, you got to know, is he likes to argue. Mm-hmm. You know. He enjoys like verbal debating and getting into like arguments and discussing things with people.
Yeah.
And you know, back then, like he's since learned, but back then he didn't know when not to do that.
Right. Right.
And so I'm sure like no one knows what happened in that office. All we know is he emerged a changed man.
Yes.
But I'm sure he's in there. My visualization of it is Builder's just giving it to him. Like, how did you do this with ESPN coming? He's like, hey man, we're just idiots. He's just like, I mean, he's like, it must be like 5 minutes of him like trying to justify it or something. He's like, hey, the team appreciates these things, and then just like Builder's going in.
Hey, we've been great B-roll. We're the team against the NFL.
I mean, bottom line, no such thing as bad press, am I right?
Good press.
Wow, that's a great story.
And you know, okay, here's a big question: did Builder's hair get ruffled?
No, it's impossible. Builder's hair.
It's freer now. Like, before it was more, like, hairspray. Like, it could have been grown in, like a tank with, like, Ken dolls.
This is... So, there's a funny story about Michelangelo. When he made his best statue of all time, he said, I started with a block. I don't know. He's like, this is a great story.
You've done this before, right?
He goes, Michelangelo said, and I quote, he said, I saw Mike Builder's hair, and I chiseled away the block until I set it free.
I do remember that.
That's a famous Michelangelo.
That's art history 101. It's like maybe the first chapter in the song.
The fact that he's had so many different hairstyles over the years,
and they're all
and
good.
They're all goddamn beautiful.
Yeah, the one's not better than the other, just consistent greatness.
They're different. It's like, it's a new level of excellence.
Yeah.
This world is now ready.
Right.
Oh my god. So good.
I think the media ate up Blitz League, not because of the controversial material, but because of the hair.
So
because Builder did all that. Wasn't he on like the talk show too?
It was always him and LT going on all the shows.
Yeah, yeah.
They did one of the things that what was like the NBC 11:30 show then?
Was that Kimmel? Is he on?
Was it Kimmel?
I think it was on Kimmel.
It was one of those. One of those.
Yeah, he was on Kimmel. Did you ever talk about LT
Yeah, we talked about that.
With the girls?
No, we didn't talk about the girls.
Oh, yeah. When he walked in with the... With
okay,
the
go ahead. Girl. Let's go.
Yeah, LT...
Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor rolls up.
Number four, they've got to set the table for people.
Well, he was our poster boy for the show, a bad boy for the NFL.
And literally one of the best like football players of all time.
Yeah.
Number 56 in the Giants. Hall of Famer.
Yeah, amazing, but also amazing sort of bad boy reputation. So we get him to play Quint Sands, the basically the linebacker in the story mode patterned after him. And he rolls up to court his lines. Gets out of the limo, and he has two girls, one under each arm. And, what's going on there? And, he just kind of sidesteps. He goes, that's what you do. That's me. That's LT. I gotta bring him into the recording session. You probably LT, shouldn't.
You actually don't need to bring him.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, no, they come in. So we had them at the sofa, and they were just kind of hanging out in the recording session while Rich Carl was setting up everything. And then, but then they actually weren't in the session at the end. I think they posted him up on a sofa somewhere, just offloaded him. And then he gathered him at the end of the session.
But so history is going to call this one story too many.
Yeah, one story too many.
History's not going to look finely on the LT because they've been able to do two chunks.
The thing is, it's not a great story, but it does cement people's opinion of NFL. Always walking around with two girls.
That does. Well, Crick, I'm going to let you go out.
Yeah.
I know, too late, but we're going to try anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for coming to Chicago this week, too.
A pleasure.
I know
a pleasure in the -4.
It's balls cold right now. You're not used to that.
Yes.
I'm going to tell everyone in Texas that I can try that.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Done.
Cheers.
My pleasure.
Oh, that Craig. Oh, incorrigible.
I totally forgot about the brutal card.
Yeah.
That was good.
This is why we need to have more people that we used to work with come on, because, how many stuff we forgot?
Yeah, sure, right?
It's like, we're like, oh, we're out of stories already. This is bad. It's like, nope, there's he spits out three off the top of his head.
The supply.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, and I totally remember those signs, too. That
was a rough day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. But yeah, did you never get filmed for that, for the ESPN thing, did you?
No, they came to my office first because they wanted to talk to the quote unquote leads or whatever.
Right.
And I had no interest in being on TV or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm better about it now, but back then I was like, just want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So don't film me.
Right.
I'm not gonna sign away. Just don't do it.
Right.
Go talk to those guys. They're handsome over there. Go talk to them. So I had Vin and you, and they went in your guys' office and they filmed you. The back of your head ended up on the show.
The back of my head was on ESPN once, yeah.
Pretty solid, right?
Hey, it was pretty good.
Do you remember what you were trying? Were you fake programming or were you actually?
Yeah,
programming?
It was weird because they were in there for a while. They just pretend to work. I'm okay.
Just type, I guess.
Yeah. You want me to just slam my fist on my desk and scream? Why is that what you want me to do? Okay.
Yeah. Normally, this is the time of the day when I'd be screaming about an artist right now.
Right.
Yeah. Is that what you want to hear, or you just want to be fake type? Just fake type.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can do.
And, did he make the final?
Yeah, Vin was in there. If I remember correctly, I think you see Vin's face. There was him and I think Dan. No, it wasn't Dan Bigger. Maybe it was Craig.
Maybe
Craig, or maybe it was Coleman even. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it checks out with Vin. He's a handsome guy.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies love Vin.
Absolutely.
So that checks out at least.
Yep.
So that is the story wherein ESPN came to Midway.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Now, Daryl.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get into what we are now calling the best three consecutive days of my life.
Really?
I've been thinking about it a long time. Clark just kind of said it jokingly to me.
Yeah.
I can't come up with three better back-to-back days. Tokyo last year is the only other thing in the running.
Okay.
TGS.
Minus Roppongi.
No, that's in there.
Oh, okay.
I lost my ass money-wise, but that was an amazing night. Right?
Okay, all right.
The problem with that was...
Well, I can't wait to see how these 3 days are going to go.
And the problem with that, because I had the first night was the karaoke night.
Right.
Second night was Roppongi night.
Uh-huh.
And third, quote-unquote, night was me drunk on an airplane.
Okay.
So that's it's the last night weighs the whole thing down.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Okay. Whereas this is a bit more of a hot banger. So,
fair enough.
For those who don't know, I went down to Salvador, Brazil... for Carnival, and if you don't know what Carnival is, I really didn't know what it was, and it's pretty funny. I thought it was basically just okay, it's a big party.
Sure.
But I didn't really know,
a Mardi Gras.
Yeah, my friend Fernando, I'll get into it in a minute, I'll talk about Fernando more, but he's like, you should go, if you love parties and you love, bucket list type stuff, you have to go to Carnival.
If you love bucket list type stuff.
Once in a lifetime, you have to do this before you die.
Gotcha.
That's kind of the premise by why we do those college football things.
Okay.
It's these are a bunch of, you have to go party in the Grove at Ole Miss, right?
Sure.
Just, if you're a football fan, you have to do that, right?
Okay.
So this is the premise that, you have to go to Carnival. Okay, if Fernando says I have to go to Carnival, I'm going to Carnival.
Sure.
I never really Googled it. I never really did anything. It's it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So book it. And as we get closer, Marie's like, what's this thing you're going to? And I'm like, oh, it's Carnival. Uh-huh. It's like this big festival party in Brazil.
Just don't Google it. Yeah, just don't Google it, Marie.
And she Googles it.
Oh, dear.
And she's like, this looks like an orgy. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm pretty sure it's just a bunch of dudes drinking their faces off. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm kind of giving her a hard time for being weird about it or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And then I Google it myself.
Oh, dear.
And sure enough, Google image search is like all basically topless women from this parade, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, what am I doing?
Right.
So I quickly figure out that, yeah, maybe she's onto something here.
Right.
Maybe I'm not only an awful person, but an awful husband.
Right.
So there's two, as it turns out, there's two carnivals.
Okay.
And this is going to sound like a bullshit cover-up story,
uh-huh.
but it's true. Uh-huh. Just trust me, it's true.
Sure.
There's two. There's one in Rio, and that's the one that gets all the airplay. Like, the one in Rio is the super fancy one. It's, like, all the parades and the really, like, glamorous. Like, all the stuff you see of, like, ladies bedazzled up head to toe. And, okay. like, that's all Rio.
Yeah.
So the one I went to in Salvador, it is a lot more, like, of the people for the people.
Okay.
Right? That is what I guessed it would be. It's kind of like... like a Mardi Gras plus,
okay.
essentially. People just going hard, right? So what Carnival is, it's this big, like, week-long festival. And me, my best friend Dave Clark, who I've known since the third grade, he's kind of one of the guys that goes on all these trips with me. And our buddy Fernando, who we met at World Cup last year.
You met him at World Cup?
Yeah, so Clark has got, like, we'll get into this in a minute, too, but Clark has, so me and Clark have our roles in our friendship,
yeah,
right? And he is world class at people in random places. Like walking up to someone, start talking, not being creepy,
right.
and making fast friends.
Yeah.
It's like plus, and I'm not that at all.
Yeah.
Like I'm much more like, hey, slide me into a cool place and I make it better.
Right.
But I'm not gonna make it cool.
Right.
You know? So Clark was at the airport last year and he's just talking to this guy in line next to him.
Weird. Okay.
And it turns out this guy, he's originally from Peru.
Okay.
He lives in Florida now. They're talking. Turns out he was going to the same game we were. And so he's like, dude, let's just, are you? And he's like, no, I'm by myself. My kid was going to come down with me, but he had to bail at the last minute, so I'm by myself. Like, hang out with us.
Nice.
And so we end up hanging out with Fernando. Basically, like, our trips did, like, I was down in World Cup for about a week. Clark was there for a whole month. And Fernando was there for about a week and a half. And we didn't always go to the same towns at the same times. But, like, in between games, we'd, like, link up. We'd fly to a city or yeah. whatever. We'd link up again. And just the coolest dude, right?
Like, that's cool.
Super nice. Like, my go-to Fernando story is I don't want to get into too much detail on him, but he's basically does a lot of investments in Central and Latin America, or South and Latin America, right?
Say no more.
And so not like that. Not those kind of investments.
Oh, okay.
Legit investments.
Okay.
But so he really knows the area. You know, he speaks a bunch of the languages. Like, his go-to is Spanish.
Yeah.
But he knows enough Portuguese where he can get by and all cool. that. And those are relatively close, but we'll get into that in a minute, too. It's not really close.
Setting all these up.
Yeah, but so, like, yeah, this is going to be like a 12-hour story also.
Great.
We
got to do this in 20 minutes? Okay.
And so, but he feels like when you are in an area, like, so me and Clark are the gringos in Brazil.
Yeah.
He feels compelled to make sure we have an awesome experience.
Okay.
Because he loves the area. You know, he's not from Brazil, but he loves it.
Yeah.
And he wants everyone to have as good a time as possible, right?
Great.
And so we're at this bar last year, or World Cup. And I'm like, it's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, I'm punching out.
Yeah.
You guys hang out if you want. I'm punching out.
Early for you.
Yeah, then it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been like a travel day for me. Who can say?
Sure.
Actually, World Cup was not an out till 5 a.m. thing, because a lot of times you get up early for games and stuff.
Yeah.
So the World Cup was not go crazy. It was not like Carnival where I was getting home at 7 a.m. But
more on that later.
I announced, okay, I'm taking off, guys. Peace out. Fernando runs to the door. Runs to the front door. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, and I mosey to the front door.
Yeah.
And I get outside, and he's flagged down a taxi, is negotiating a rate, and paid for the cab.
Okay.
And he gets in. He opens the door. He says, get in. I told him where you're going. I've paid him. Don't give him a dime when you get there. Okay. We're good to go.
All right.
And I'm like, he's so nice. It was like off-putting in a really weird way.
Okay.
It's like, wow, what does this guy want from me?
Right.
No one is this nice.
Right.
This is before I knew, like, he's just really into people having a good experience, right. You know, in all these places.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this dude we just met.
Yeah.
He's awesome. And he's, like, super, super nice. So that's, like, my go-to Fernando story, right? And so...
We're like, now this guy is sending me somewhere that I don't know where...
But yeah, but it worked out fine, right?
Like, sure. It would have been weird.
It was a little weird at first, but then it's like, once I got past that and, like, spent the next couple of days hanging out with him...
He didn't ask the taxi, like, where are you taking me?
He doesn't, or, no, he doesn't, like, just like the language, the barrier entry for language in Brazil is really high.
Okay.
It's, like, just a peg below Japan, I would say. Like, you're not even guaranteed people in hotels, like, speak English, right?
Sure.
And there's no fucking taxis that speak English, but good luck.
You were just strapping in, you were ready to go.
Get in, get to the hotel, and the rest of the week, me, Clark, and Fernando were hanging out, having fun, going to the same games and doing that. So, anyway, that's Fernando.
So he didn't send you somewhere exotic?
He did not. Okay. I went straight to the hotel.
Okay. That's good.
And so we're going down. Clark's the iceberg. And so as part of this, Clark goes to Brazil early.
Okay.
He goes to Brazil 2 days before I do.
All right.
With the sole purpose of getting some local intel.
Okay.
Right? Like, he's going to figure out... Because, like, one of the... You know, this is, like, going back to, like, the college football trips we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we want to know, okay, where do you tailgate at?
Right.
Where do you do this? Where do you do this? Where do you do this?
Gotcha.
And for college football, it's really easy. You just get on message boards and you read.
Sure.
Right? But for something like this, what we learned at World Cup is a little local knowledge goes a really long way.
That's funny.
Right?
He's literally the location scout. Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets there 2 days early, and he's like WhatsApping me, like, yeah, all his findings. He's like, I met up with some British expats. Their condo is, like, right off one of the parade routes. I was drinking with them all night. I know exactly where to get this thing and this thing and this thing.
Yeah.
Second day he's there, he fires up Tinder, right?
Okay.
And he's like, he's just matching people left and right.
Okay.
Right? And so he links up with one of them, and it turns out, like, he met this girl, and she was basically our tour guide through the week.
Okay.
Right? Because, like, the interesting about Bound, anyway, what I discovered, is like, if they speak English, they want to practice it a ton. Mm-hmm. And they don't get a lot of opportunities to practice it. And so it's not so much about, like, hey, let's, you know, do-do-do-do-do or whatever, hook up or whatever. It's like, oh, my God, this guy speaks English.
Yeah.
Let's go have lunch to him, and I can speak English to him for an hour or whatever.
Sure.
And so Clark managed to parlay that into getting her to be our tour guide.
Nice.
All week.
Nice.
And so I get down there, and so I flew in from O'Hare to Sao Paulo on United. And just a brief note on United Business Class.
Mm.
A brief note. I haven't flown. So this is... I know I'm a horrible person.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm spoiled rotten.
I think it's documented on this show, yeah.
Literally the worst person in the world. I don't think I can fly United Business Class anymore.
Ever again.
I don't think... I think Singapore has spoiled me.
What happened?
Singapore Air has spoiled me. Just nothing is as nice.
Oh, okay.
And the cost isn't that different.
Right.
And so... I'm really upset about it because it is a little more money for Singapore, but it's such a plus in every way. Service is better.
Right.
The chair's better.
Yeah.
Like, remember Singapore Air, like the double wide chair?
Yeah.
Like, no. It's like I'm just like laying in a coffin in United's business class. Like, it's
just
like super tight and cramped and whatever. Anyway, so I'm spoiled rotten and I'm the worst. Get to Sao Paulo and what's happened with Clark? He's like, hey, Fernando is on your flight from Sao Paulo to Salvador.
Oh.
I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so I'm just waiting. I'm looking around for him. I don't see him. And I'm waiting in line. And sure enough, Fernando just finds me.
Boom.
And we're, you know, give him a hug. What's up? Da, 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 da. I'm getting the plane, get down there, and get in the car, and instantly start to see, like, how Carnival takes over the city.
Okay.
You know? It's like one of the first. So, okay, let me give you just a couple words on Brazil in general. So if you're going to travel to Brazil,
mm-hmm.
Here's some stuff you need to know.
Pro tips.
One, like I said, probably the first thing you know is the barrier to entry on language is very high.
Sure.
And so it is worth it to learn 20 words or phrases, like as many as you can, and really learn them,
sure.
Right? Like, because a handful of stuff will get you a really long way, you know? Like... Obrigado. So this is wherein we find out I have no natural language ability.
Great.
And I can't pronounce things for it anyway.
Okay.
So, like, you know, if you're saying, like, thank you or, you know, like, that was awesome, whatever.
Uh-huh.
For a guy, it's obrigado. Or for a woman, it's obrigada.
Okay.
Or you can just shut it, you can short it, you can lose the first part and go to Regarda. Mm. And that's like the most important one. There's just a bunch of stuff like, you know, bathroom. The word for here is remarkably useful, Aki.
Nah.
Is all this stuff. So that's my first recommendation, is learn as many little phrases. I would say if you can learn, like catalog what you use in your everyday language the most, and just get those phrases down and lock, and it'll get you a long way,
right?
So that's the first thing. Second thing, the most important gesture to know in Brazil is the thumbs up.
Okay.
So if you ever get into a spot where something awkward happens,
okay,
like you turn without looking and you bump someone's drink, you walk into traffic and make someone stop abruptly, just a bunch of these little accidents happen all the time.
Sure.
You give someone a thumbs up, you will get a thumbs up back and a smile.
Okay.
Right? It's like the equivalent of like, my bad, you're awesome, you know, be cool.
The thumbs up goes a long way in Tokyo also, I find.
I learned it at World Cup. Okay. It's like you can't not notice that people do this.
I see.
Right? Like even you just like, so you're walking by someone, you just give them a thumbs up, you get a thumbs up back, right?
Gotcha.
So you get in any mess in Brazil ever, thumbs up and you're out of it.
That's it.
Right? That's all you need to do. That's right? All. But it's even like, just give it can be used for as a thank you, right? Like waitress comes, gives you your food, just give her a thumbs up, she's super happy.
All right.
You know? Tipping is not required in Brazil, but it's very appreciated.
Okay.
You tip a bartender or you tip whatever at all,
yeah,
it goes a long way.
Really?
Yeah, like they, the first time you do it, they try to give you the money back because they think you made a mistake.
Really?
Like 10 times out of 10. They're like, oh, sir, you gave me too much.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's, and then I go, it, you know, poor, oh, you is already.
I don't know.
But whatever. So I point them in, and they get all happy, and they're super pumped.
Nice.
And they take care of you the rest of the night.
Give them a thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. And so those are like my three generic Brazil tips.
That's good. Those are good.
I have one specific carnival tip.
Okay.
Bring shoes you do not plan on bringing home.
I see.
Because carnival is a lot of walking. And it's a lot of walking through streets covered in beer,
okay,
other assorted fluids.
Sure.
And your shoes will get destroyed.
Okay.
So, like, I brought these brand new, fresh ass Pumas down. Like, I got, like, my parents gave me a gift certificate, gift card for Puma for Christmas.
Oh, cool.
And I bought, like, five pairs, right?
Nice.
And these things were, like, these really bright blue. Low cut, kind of low, you know, just fucking great. Like, you know, like, these are summer shoes.
Yeah.
Right? These look like some summer ass shoes.
Yeah.
And, you gotta wear these white socks. You just knew what they were.
Sure.
So I brought down all blue shirts, you know, like I had the blue, you know, the blue Ole Miss hat.
Yep.
My blue glasses.
Yep.
So I was Mr. Blue Guy.
Nice.
And after the first night, I came back and they were really dirty. But I went to the sink and I cleaned them up.
Okay.
And they were almost as good as new.
That's good.
And trying to do it every night, it became more and more impossible to clean them up.
Yeah, but
last night I spent a good half hour trying to clean them up.
Ugh.
And they were still just like completely jet black.
Yeah.
And so I ended up throwing them in the trash and leaving them.
Wow.
Yeah. So bring multiple pairs
of
shoes.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it was bad. And bring one you don't mind leaving behind.
Okay.
So there's Dave Lang's pro carnival tip.
Ugh, good. Gross.
So without further ado, Daryl.
Yeah.
Carnival proper.
Yeah.
Me and Fernando land in Salvador. Get in a cab. It takes you to... So we stayed at the Sheraton da Bahia. So that's another thing to know, too. Like, if you're from America, city names have one spelling and one spelling only. Okay. Like, city names are called one thing. But, like, in Europe, like, sometimes, like, there's Italy, Italia.
Yeah.
Like, Cologne has, like, three different spellings. There's Cologne.
Right.
And, so Brazil is very much the same way.
Okay.
Like Sao Paulo is called like Guadalajara or something like that. Locals call Salvador Bahia.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, it's another little thing to like, kind of just learn. Like, how do you like Bahia? And it's like, what did you say?
Yeah.
You mean like Salvador, right?
Yeah.
And so we were saying Sheraton de Bahia, which is like right. And so there's two big parade routes. So carnival is essentially parades.
Okay.
Right? And the Sheraton is at the start of one of the parade routes. Right? So right where one of them just starts.
Right.
And it is great, except for the fact you can't get there. So the taxi can get you close, like, but you're probably within 500 yards, but then you have to get out and walk.
Because of the parades?
Because the roads are blocked
sure,
off.
Sure, sure.
There's cops everywhere. They don't let you pass. They don't let you do this stuff.
Okay.
And so you know, and they just kind of get you, they drop you off and say, hey, which way is the Sheridan? They don't know what you're asking.
Right.
And so I try to figure it out. So it's like, okay, luckily we knew about this ahead of time.
Yeah.
Luckily I was with Fernando. Mm-hmm. Fernando drops the Portuguese on and figures out, so we're in the hotel. Hotel is locked the fuck down.
Whoa.
So they put, so Clark was giving me recon from his walkarounds.
Yeah.
So like on the parade route, he was showing me, they build these things, I'll get into these later, they call them camaroche.
Okay.
And they're basically like sky boxes along the parade route.
Oh, cool. Right?
And they assemble these literally days before the parade.
Okay.
Right? Like, if this was America, they would have to start on this like 2 months before.
Yeah.
Right? But these guys started days before. It's like, it's just like pipes and plywood. They build these structures out of the whole thing, right?
Scaffolding.
Yeah, basically. It's essentially, it's like, Clark's like, these things do not look super stable. Obviously, they know what they're doing. They're throwing them up really quick.
Sure.
And all the local businesses kind of board up their windows.
Really?
Like, along the parade. Because okay. It's just like,
Jesus.
It's not because, I think, of any, like...
riots or
it's not because of that. It's just because it's so many freaking people.
Sure.
Right? And the Sheraton was no different. So the Sheraton, they walled off. They built, like, a plywood wall around the whole hotel.
Wow.
One entrance. And they do not let anyone with a local ID in or out of the hotel.
What?
Like, they, if you... When you try to make a reservation...
Yeah.
They will not let you make a reservation if you have a local ID.
Why?
I guess it's just they want... It's a security thing, right? Like, they want to make sure, like... Because, you know, Brazil is... the one thing I would say about Brazil is there is, like a petty theft thing that happens there.
Okay.
Like, it's one thing you'd have to watch out for is pickpockets and stuff like that and those sort of things.
Okay.
And I think they do that as, like, a security measure, right? To make sure, like, no one like that checks in the hotel and is ripping guests off.
Just because this is, like, a high tourist time.
Yeah.
So,
like,
okay.
People come in from... You know, I didn't see many other, like, Americans there. Mm. Like, I think of people come from all over... South America to Carnival.
Okay.
Right? Certainly from all over Brazil to Carnival.
Sure.
And so you get in the hotel, it's locked down. We were going to go to, so this is Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And get some quick food. And then me, Clark, and Fernando, we go outside and we just start walking towards so there's one parade route that's downtown, that's where we were. There's another one that's on the beach. I forget how it's spelled, but they call that area Baja.
All right.
So we're going to walk from downtown to Baja, because that's where Clark was meeting his tour guide, essentially, right? That girl he met.
Yeah.
And so we are starting to walk down there and just, like, starting to see the parade stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, Carnival starts Thursday.
Okay.
Right? And didn't really know, like I said, I didn't do a lot of research into it. So what these parades are, they are these huge, like, 18-wheeler trucks.
Okay.
Right? Like, massive semi-trucks.
Yeah.
But they build the back up even higher.
Okay.
And then on the top of this thing they built up, on the top, so they'll turn, like, the storage, like, the, what's the trailer part, right?
Right, but is it like a flatbed trailer?
No, so it's like one of those box things.
Okay,
and they build
yeah.
it up even higher, right? And on the inside of that, they put, like, bathrooms. They'll put bars.
What?
They'll put, like, medical stations.
Really?
Yeah. And so each one of these has that.
What?
And then in the very top, they build a stage.
Okay.
And so
this is the actual float.
This is the float.
On that.
And so what every float is, it is a moving concert.
Wow.
And so, like, the biggest musical acts in Brazil appear on the top of these stages.
That's cool.
And so they're playing.
Yeah.
And then so this is what essentially, there's three ways to engage in Carnival.
Okay.
First one is called Bloco. Bloco.
Okay.
And that is to be, so you find a music act you like, and you buy a ticket for
them, right?
And that allows you to walk with the truck. And this is
how,
like...
How do they regulate that?
Here's how they regulate it.
Okay.
So the ticket they give you is a shirt.
Oh.
And so then around the outside of the truck, and this might be for the really big Blocos, it might be... like 10 times the length of the trunk.
Okay.
It's a perimeter of rope.
Interesting.
And bouncers holding the rope.
I see.
And so they only let people with the shirts on.
Those shirts.
Inside.
Okay.
And so then they walk with the truck.
Yeah.
They keep you moving along.
Right.
And it's just really weird. And it's like.
That just sounds like chaos, like, to keep up and keep everyone moving.
Well, as I found, so we did that my last night. So I want to do this in chronological order. So I'm not going to say what my Bloco experience was until I get to that part of the story.
All right.
Yeah, but you're not far off.
Okay.
But we're kind of taking all this in and learning about what it is. And, like, it just seems like just nuts, right?
Yeah.
That's the first way to engage. Second way is to go to one of these Camaroche parties, right? It's the same shit. You buy a shirt, and you get to go to these skybox parties, essentially.
Wow.
And in there, it's usually all you can eat, all you can drink, and they start at, like, 3 p.m., and they close at 5 a.m., right? And you just, so instead of, like, sticking with one band, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching the different bands go by in front of you.
Yeah.
The bigger Camaroches, like, the bigger acts will stop in front of the bigger ones.
Oh, cool.
And play a couple songs for you.
That's awesome.
And so, there's that. Or you can just, like, hang out at the parade room.
Yeah.
Stand by and watch them. You can walk on the outside of a rope, you know?
Yeah.
And watch, and so you can stay with, like, your favorite band. You don't need a thing, but to get on the inside, take advantage of, like, you know, the other stuff. Like, you need a shirt, right?
Right.
And so those are, like, the kind of three ways you engage. And so the first night, Mark ended up getting Loco, but he got one for me. He bought a shirt for me and a shirt for him for this one. And so Brazil sizes do not work for me. So, like, the equivalent of an XL down there is a G for Grande, right? And a double XL is GG, Grande Grande.
Uh-huh.
And I do not fit into a GG. It's not even close.
Really?
It's like Stay Puft Marshmallow Man stance.
Awesome.
Right?
Sweet.
And so they kept telling Clark, don't worry about it. Like, there are tons of tailors around, and they make alterations on these all the time.
I see.
And I hear that, and I'm like, that is bullshit.
Yeah.
You just bought a fucking mess of bull. Right? That is not true. Turns out it's true.
Huh.
So we kind of didn't want to mess with it that night.
Yeah.
So we ended up not going to Bloco. Like I said, we ended up walking down to Baja. And
we didn't squeeze into it?
No, we didn't. And so we ended up just giving the shirts away to some people on the street, and they were super happy.
Sure.
Like, oh, cool, I could do that Bloco.
Yeah.
So we get down to Baja, and we missed the time Clark was supposed to meet his tour guide and her friends.
Okay.
Right? And so they were going to a Bloco. It's a free Bloco, which is a masquerade Bloco.
Okay.
Right? So if you show up
in masquerade,
some kind of costume, you get in the Bloco for free.
That's cool.
And so we started navigating our way through these busy streets.
Yeah.
And trying to catch up to the masquerade Bloco.
Right.
Right? And so, first thing you notice is the entire street is lined, end to end to end, beer vendors. Like,
nice.
It's not like there's, like, a beer vendor every block.
Right.
Like, it's
stacked.
It is literally both sides of the street.
Wow.
Whole thing is beer vendors.
Wow.
A beer is the equivalent of 80 U.S. cents.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
80 U.S. cents for a beer. Like, dollar super strong right now.
Spin up the drink machine.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
And so you're walking around, it's on the ocean, so it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? You got beer everywhere.
Right.
Like, there's vendors. Like, we've all bought these, like, red, white, and blue Lays.
Yeah.
So we're walking around with those, and we're trying to, like, come up with some ad hoc masquerade thing while we're walking there.
Sure.
And I'm just, like, overwhelmed with them all.
Yeah.
Right? And Clark's like, okay, so, you know, I thought last night was crazy. This beats last night. I bet you every night it gets crazier.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, there's no way. But that actually is 100% true.
Yeah.
So we end up, like, going past, like, walking faster than the Blocos, making some progress. We walk probably for, like, an hour and a half, finally run into that crew. And it's, like, this point's, like, 1 a.m. And I'm, like, been awake for, like, 38 hours and slept 3.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm starting to drag a little bit.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, you know, I want to make this a good week. I want to get off to a bad start. Tomorrow, like, so we knew the next day we're doing the Camaroche, and the last day we're doing the Bloco. Then we actually have to spend money for that shit, so I want to make sure I take advantage of it. I'm going to go home and tap out now. So, dap Fernando, dap Clark, start walking back. And that's when I go to the bathroom.
Okay.
So, the bathrooms, there's a lot of things about Brazil I love.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that are very interesting about Brazil. Like, Brazil is very, very deregulated in general.
Okay.
And I do not think deregulation is awesome. It's like a general practice.
Sure.
Brazil is a pretty good case study on how you can make it work. Because, like, I guarantee you, all those people selling beer don't have licenses.
Right.
You
right.
know? They're just out there slinging stuff. All these people selling street food don't have licenses.
Right.
If you're in a cab, you quickly learn there are no rules of the road. Mm-hmm. Right? There's, like, taxis, like, lane lines are just a suggestion. They have these things down there called moto taxis, which are essentially motorcycle taxis.
Sure.
Where you're just riding behind the person, holding on for dear life. You're zipping in and out of traffic.
It's awesome.
Right? There's, like, no rules.
Yeah.
Right? But somehow, everyone down there makes it work because they're so laid back and they're so chill.
Right.
And you can thumbs up anyone.
It's just thumbs up everywhere.
Yeah, and they don't get upset. And so it's like really interesting. But part of the, one of the side effects of that is maybe they don't clean out the stalls as you'd like. Right? Okay. So imagine like 85 degree heat.
Yeah. I'm there.
Tens of thousands of people.
Okay.
Drinking nonstop.
Okay.
Go in the bathroom, one and two.
Yeah.
And maybe say they don't, they clean out these urinals and stalls once every couple days.
Ooh.
And it's baking in the hot sun.
Gross.
So I'm kind of a, like a generic wuss when it comes to outdoor, like, bathroom stuff in general.
Sure.
Like, I get really nauseous very easily with the first nasty thing.
Yeah.
So my default move, before I even go in, is I put my shirt over my nose.
Okay, sure.
And typically, that's enough to get me through what I need to do, no matter what.
Right.
Right? So, get my shirt. I was just like, there's awesome, so I'm in line, awesome bloco going by. I'm taking pictures with my phone.
Sure.
Picture.
Okay.
Door opens up, it's my turn.
Yep.
Put the shirt over my nose.
Right.
Step in.
Phone in hand.
I am overcome.
Yeah.
Over fucking come with the worst smell I've ever seen in my life. I retch. Right?
Into like, your shirt while it's over your nose?
So yeah, I didn't puke, but I was retching.
Okay.
So my instinct is to put my hand on my face.
Right.
So I put my one hand there, I put the other hand there, drop my phone into the toilet. So, hashtag Team GFB listeners. If you're wondering why there weren't Twitter updates from the wonderful festival de Carnaval, Carnaval de Brazil, Carnaval de Salvador.
Yeah.
This is why. It's because I was there 6 hours and I lost my phone.
So your phone just plopped in there and you just did not retrieve it, left it there.
I bet it's melted. It was so nasty and acidic. Like, I bet by now it's melted. It was some toxic shit, bro. It was nasty. My phone's locked down.
Okay.
My phone's locked down. First of all, no one would touch that phone.
You can't say that, but sure.
No, I keep my shit encrypted. It's all locked down. All
right.
Like, I was like not drunk.
Yeah.
And so, like, I went back to the hotel and I shut off every account and I did all the security stuff I needed to do. So, like,
okay.
You can remote wipe Android phones and all that. So, like, we're set. Like,
okay.
That was not a practical concern. It was much more of a bummer that, oh my God, now I don't have a phone.
Yeah. In a foreign country. Right. And, yeah.
So I end up like 2:30, getting all that stuff dealt with.
Yeah.
And tap out, go to bed. And we're going to call that part one of the Carnaval story.
Yeah, it's probably a pretty long episode now.
Yeah, it's like right now we're probably like an hour, 10 minutes already.
With
Craig in there?
Wow.
Yeah, so let's do, I know you got an email there, but let me do, I got an email first.
Yeah, okay.
And then let's save your email for next show.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah.
So got an email here. From a Jeff G. from Petaluma.
Okay.
I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's kind of long-winded.
Sure.
It's not particularly well-written.
Okay.
But it turns out Jeff G. fancies himself as a bit of an amateur podcaster.
Oh, okay.
So he's trying to give us tips and all this stuff.
Oh, that's good.
But it's adorable, frankly.
Oh.
You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm sure your podcast is awesome.
Sure.
I'm sure you got a lot of listeners, Jeff from Petaluma. It's adorable. But he did have one germane question for you.
Okay.
So, Daryl, if you ask me how I'm doing, what do I say?
How you doing, Dave?
I've never been better than I am right now.
Uh-huh.
If you say, it's like, well, why is that?
Why is that, Dave?
I am committed to a platform of excellence. Mm-hmm. Jeff wants to know how you become committed to a platform of excellence.
Oh.
Here's the trick. And it's really an easy trick. It's called self-delusion.
Okay.
If you say something enough times to yourself, you start to believe it. Like, I literally think I've never been better than I am right now. That's not true at all.
Right.
Yeah, you could ask me, like, I get kicked in the balls, and you could ask me how you're doing, and I would say that, and I would believe it.
I love this.
Yeah. And so, it's the exact same thing for committed to a platform of excellence.
Right.
Right? If you start telling yourself you're committed to a platform of excellence... Mm-hmm. Pretty soon you're committed to a platform of excellence and you don't accept any fucking second-tier bullshit.
Never stop, man.
It's just like that.
That's right.
So, Jeff, thank you for the email.
Yeah. Well, I guess that'll do it, Dave, for the part one of this episode for Team Ground Floor Button Radio.
Oh, Ground Floor Button. I like it.
Yeah, man, you got Ground Floor Button. You know, when someone's asking you, like, how do I get to you? Where are you at? You'd be like, GFB, baby. Right there. Ground Floor Button. right?
What if you're not on the ground floor at the time?
No, you're always at the ground floor. That's where the party starts, and that's where the party ends.
I guess if you're committed to a platform of excellence,
hey,
you're always on the ground floor looking up.
How do I get there?
You're never looking down.
GFB. It's got the star right next to it.
Hashtag.
That's where you gotta go.
Strong.
Right?
Yeah. So, for Team Ground Floor Button Radio, I'm Dave Lang.
I'm Daryl Whitmer.
Peace.
Goodbye.
Dumb show.
Cause anything you want, I'm there with all muscle. It's when I'm in the streets, eating more ruffles. We can play the sweets in Vegas, all the duffels. Cause you the queen, I'm the king, be a rider. A man with a game plan, stressing, ain't a rider. So let me paint pictures, stay crisp, we providers. Be real, realer than real, worth the mileage.
It's the wrong time, but I wish you were all by.
Significant amount of traffic right here. Normally, there's not a lot of traffic. Green. No, not gonna. Play collard greens.
Nope.
What a fucking mess. What a shitty experience. Also, it's not even gonna play it. Like, it took the command, and then... Oh, motherfucker. Shuffle all my music.
Playing all songs. Shuffle.
Now the voice is coming out of the phone instead of the car. Who knows why?
Jigga man.
Play collard greens.
Here's collard green.
Yeah, great.
Shit, yeah.
lovely pinky. How not I remember fiend. Give me some. Freak the freckles off your face. Frenchie freaking swapping tongue. Click my link and snatch your buns. Lose your dental, make it numb. Blow it, baby, no Saddam. Icky, 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 icky. Fucking in the car service. Thank you for the carpool. Chromosome thoughtful. Probably off a narco and gas, not the arco. Popping since the intro. You shopping from the window. Play my favorite tempo. Oh, oh, oh. Let you be. Chitty, ching, ching. Could buy anything. Cop that. Oh, oh. Calibrees, 3 degrees low, make it half of me. Drop that, oh, oh, oh. Damn, yeah, shit, can shit stop this? Yeah, yeah, with the shit, hey. Oh, 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 oh. Damn, with the shit, yeah. This, yeah, this, yeah. Damn, with the shit.
Hold up, bitch.
This your favorite song? Translation, then I keep my mia secula. Yo quiero que mi huevo si papi mores. Espero chupase puto pendejo el pinche cabrón. Let's get it nice like this, I'm a knight like this. Sword in my hand, I fight like this. And I'm more than a man, I'm a god. Bitch, touche on guard. Two-play trap and a two just pop out of that tank top and bra. And when I say do, 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 bitch, that BK does. She wants some more of this, I give her more of this. I owe this, in fact, I know she missed the way I floored this. I'm focused, I know my Houston partners tried before this. Focus and slow it down, down. All right, let me blow this bitch. I'm famous, I blame this on you. Cash in the bag, right hand, get my penthouse roof. Skyline, the clearest, watching your optics. Popping out, you lift the word. It's pop my top on the 105. Head with no power steering. Ah,
oh, oh, luxury. Chitty, ching, ching, could buy anything. Cop that, oh, oh. Calibrees, 3 degrees low, make it half of me. Drop that, oh, oh. This mother cycle wood is calling. Go crazy like no other weeds that they blowin'. Pass the bud to my mama runs in the family. But puff, keep a nigga fiendin'. Faded, 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 right? Glass super size, she gon' get some dick tonight. Meet me at the W and know it's not the west side. Stick it up, your south side. Baller, futuristic, groovy, gangster with an attitude. Put these niggas like a year, I spin that on my daughter's shoes. Smoking weed. Luxury, chitty ching ching, could buy anything. Cop that, oh oh. Calibrees, 3 degrees low, make it half of me. Drop that, oh oh oh. Damn, yeah, shit, ching, shit, stop this, yeah, yeah, with the shit, hey, oh 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 oh.
Damn, oh man, okay. I got emails I gotta send. I gotta get to the office, man. Stuff I gotta do. Oh. Just remembered something I should have done last night that I didn't do. Oh well.
Talk switch to resume.
What? No. Stop.
Man, it's life of mine. Like, me and the lady, we impress the time. So I'm with the top dogs. We can hire some elevators. Take a sip with me. Now when you hit with me, I'm gonna live for me. Now when you ride for me, when you die for me, when you jump off a cliff and hit the sky with me. Menage a trois, four titties, no bras and no flaws. You, me, and her ball with no draws. Get high with a god, I'm a no star. Feeling good, all this money in my bank card. 10 grand in my pocket, nigga, all lost. Porsche Panorama, all day at four doors. Pedal to the floor, ain't that what it's made for? I ain't minding if the world stops, cause I ain't minding if the world stops. Been living up in hell shop, been living up in hell shops. So I'ma live it to the top, nah, so I'ma take it to the top. I ain't minding if the world stops, and I ain't minding if the world stops. Been living up in hell shop, been living up in hell shops. So I'ma live it to the top, nah, so fuck with you. Get up out your seat, you can have my drink, let me see you dance. Get up off your feet, you can be my freak, let me see you jam. When the sun falls, then the moon lights, might be a hell of a night. Go, 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 go.
Fuck with the radio for a little bit.
And it wasn't that crazy, like, you know, he just needed a big brother hug, you know, and, you know, like I said, I respect him, I always rooted for him, so it wasn't never no love lost, it was just a lack of communication, but we chopped it up, and, you know, of course, Shy's down right now, so I all I can say is, you know, I tell my little brother, keep your head up out there, you know, hold your head, and you got a lot of time to just think about what you want to do when you come home, you know, so... I don't dwell on that. It's nothing but love, man. Especially for cats around my way that came through so much, you know? So,
man, you seem like
love.
You in a good place, Ray. That happens with maturity, and you know what I mean? As you evolve, you appreciate your day-to-day and everything you accomplish. And I'm always one to try to, like, especially when there's people I know, help them if they're having issues of conflict. I personally don't believe in solving conflict on social media. I'm just not that dude.
Yeah.
I remember Joe Budden wasn't in favor of the Wu, it felt like. Did you guys ever resolve your situation?
I never ever seen him again.
Since that time? Since back then?
Never seen him, no.
Was that something you ever wanted to resolve, or was it just a moment in time?
I mean, it was resolved already. I mean, you know, Joe did something stand up that I respected about him, and that's between me and him. He know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I don't try to portray no tough guy image or be disrespectful to people just because I might carry that kind of power, that kind of weight. You know, I'm a man, you know, and I think at the end of the day, when we did chop, it was chopped up and it was put away, mm-hmm. you know, in a good space. And I ain't got nothing but love for him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good dude. You know, of course I know he loved the Wu. Like, who don't love Wu?
Yeah, yeah.
Who hasn't been inspired by Wu-Tang Clan? It's like, that's really, you know what time it is. So, nothing but respect, you know? We don't dwell.
We don't dwell. Mm-hmm. Raekwon the Chef.
Woo!
AKA the legend.
Now we're in this tunnel. Oh.
That's why we woman and man up, they down and we stand up. Frown, the camera panned up, King pointed to the mountaintop and we ran.
I'm an outlaw, got an outlaw chick. I'm a Tupac on my outlaw shit. Matching tats ain't don't come off. Even if rings come off and things ring off, my nails get dirty, my past ain't pretty. My lady is my Mercedes. My baby mama harder than a lot of you niggas. Keep it 100, hit the lottery niggas. You ain't about that life and got a lot of me nigga. You know it's to the death, I hope it's I be the nigga. Cross the line. Speak about mine, I'ma wear this tech. I'ma geek about mine, touch a nigga where it's red back. I click clack, put your motherfucking wig back. I did that, I've been wildin' since a juvie. She was a good girl till she knew me. Now she's in the drop, bustin' you and screamin'. Deeper than words, beyond right. Die for your love, beyond life. Sweet as a Jesus piece, beyond ice. Blind me, baby, with your neon lights. Ray-Bans on, release in sight. Oh, what a beautiful death. Let's smoke with white. If you go to heaven and they bring me to hell, just sneak out of me, bring a box of L's. She fell in love with the bad guy. The bad guy, what you doing with them bad guys? Them bad guys, they ain't see potential in me, girl. But you see it, if it's me and you against the world, then so be it,
I don't care if they give me life. I get all of my life from you. Ooh. And if love you had a prize, I would pay in my life for you.
Guy out here on the street with a pressure washer blasting the sidewalk, and he's just wearing like a suit made out of black trash bags to stay dry. I don't know if that's like a custom thing or something they, or if it's like something you can just get or something that they made themselves.
First, like this. one time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Meek Mill,
oh. Smoke one one time.
Smoke one.
Yeah. Drink one one time. Let me fuck on one time.
Smack.
Set a club on one time.
Try to call, I'm not available for nothing. Unless it's stupid paper. How about the Studebaker with Anita Baker? Opportunity be knocking. And God let a motherfucker in. I kiss my mother on the cheek. Tell her that I love her. You ain't gotta worry about it. Think I got it covered. Why you think I'm out here acting crazy? Why you think I'm out here acting crazy? No, I'm still your little baby. I feel so alive, I think I shit myself. I should kiss myself. I'm staring at the man inside.
So is that common? People to feel alive? They poop their pants?
I'm still cute, ho. All my women play the flute. Show me play some melanate for shoot. Left handed make the fender cry. Count money with a reverent smile. The devil's eye. Half Cherokee and Gemini. Motherfuckers a dumb Pete from Jump Street. And turn your chest plate to lunch meat. I'm in a Humvee, looking like a young me. Now these motherfuckers all wanna be chubby. I switch the season out of hair's curl. Tan skin, I need a bad girl. Cause James Brown said it's a man's world. In a Trans Am twirl. The burner handle made of pearl. That's just daddy's little girl. Opportunity be knocking. You gotta let a motherfucker in. I kiss my mother on the cheek. Tell her that I love her. You ain't gotta worry about a thing. I got it covered. Why you think I'm out here acting crazy? Why you think I'm out here acting crazy? Why you think I'm out here acting crazy? My, you know I'm still your little baby.
Yo, play some of that back in the day type shit.
Loud on Shade 45.
This is the fucking shit I be talking about.
Yeah.
Rap rapping ass motherfuckers. You think it's a game? You think it's a fucking game? Come on!
I don't know that I would say that I think it's a fucking game, but.
My shit is hot, can't keep it real. Now,
the shit out you twice, dog, and that's before I start cursing. Stop, stay flipping. 1 minute I'm cool, next minute I'm a bony nigga, ripping. That's my style. I'm a pretty nigga, leave you all bloody nigga, service with a smile. Suck my dick. All you niggas that been to jail before know that it's about to get thick. Let's get it on, baby. You gon' be going against four niggas in one, and you think you crazy? I lost my mind, and I'm about to make you lose your tooth from far away one time.
Up on the sidewalk to get around a septic truck cleaning out outhouses. Alright, I gotta go. I'm here. Yeah. Get in there, make some stuff happen. I'll see you guys later. Have a good Tuesday. Yeah.